this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
Join us again.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
Amen, amen. Thank you, praise team. I tell you, after that powerful reading by our readers, I feel like I don't even need to preach, but I'm going to. I tell you, I don't know where to put everything up here. Here, I'm going to put this over here. Got all these things. You may have noticed, I struggle a little bit with organization. But now you don't have to laugh. Okay, come on, come on. Oh, you're so honest. I love it. But there are times when I struggle more than usual. And I noticed the last 2 days I've been struggling. You know, Frank and I are camping inside a basement of a chapel. You know, we don't have a bathtub or a shower yet or an air conditioner, but we just got one in the bedroom, so that helped. President Conrad just got us heaven wires, so we're connected to the outside. So we're joining this millennium, but it's still pretty hot and pretty uncomfortable, and we're unpacking 41 years of memories, and so it's been kind of emotional, been a little bit emotional, exhausting, and so if I seem unorganized, it's because I am. I mean, I'm honestly more unorganized than ever, so pray for a little extra grace, okay? You're supposed to say okay. First impressions, lasting impressions. Both are important, but could one be more important than the other? Lasting impression is that which lives way beyond the days of our lives. I tell you, recently, Frank and I got a letter from a sister in Christ named Lois, and it was so full of personality. Just like she walked right in, sat right down, and just shared everything with us. We could hear her laughter. That week, Lois died suddenly. And we were so shocked and so sad. I thought, what is it like to send a letter to someone not knowing or not believing that you won't be alive to get a response? There are things that live on beyond our lives. And Lois left a legacy. And we are so thankful for her friendship. The first message, we talked about in this summer series was on Noah. Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless among the people of his day. Noah walked with God, just parallel with Bishop Jobim's book, Three Simple Rules. Do good, do no harm, and stay in love with God. Noah was a righteous man. Noah was blameless among the people of his day, and Noah did no harm. Noah walked with God, and Noah stayed in love with God. Amen? Amen. Noah's first impression in human history is impeccable. He's perfect, isn't he? Noah is absolutely perfect. He's blameless. But what gives Noah and his life that lasting impression is the covenant that God made with him, promising, I will never wipe people from the face of the earth with a flood again. And to remind you of my promise, I'm going to put a rainbow in the sky. No matter how evil people would become, God has still kept his promise. Amen? Amen. Amen. Friends, you and I see the things that are temporary. But the things we cannot see are eternal. You're going to hear that from me over and over and over again. One of my favorite truths from God's word. Last week, we peeked into the life of King David, which could have taken a year to preach through. David was a man after God's own heart. And you think, well, where in David's life does the scripture say he was a man after God's own heart? you know, Samuel's been sent by God to pick out a king, and he asked for his sons, and they all line up, and the oldest son is tall, dark, and handsome, and that's not the one, and the next one's not the one. So finally Samuel says, "Do you have any more sons?" He said, "Yes, but he's the little one. He's out in the field tending the sheep." But that was the one that God wanted to use, little David. And it was at that time in the scripture where we read where that a man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. It was when David was a young, pure, innocent child that he was a man after God's own heart. But what happens when you grow up and you're no longer so pure, innocent in heart, and you really mess up? Are you still a man or a woman after God's own heart? What happens when things like this happen? Just to give you an example, David saw a beautiful woman bathing on the roof. They have an affair. She becomes pregnant. Her husband comes home from war, and he's such a faithful warrior that he is not even with his wife. David doesn't know what to do, so he sends Uriah to the front of the battlefield, and he is killed. Their child eventually is born and dies, and life goes on. But God used the prophet Nathan. Don't you love it how God sends someone into your life to just snap you out of it, to wake you up? I love it. A lot of times I think God uses children more than anybody. So Nathan begins to tell David a story. A certain man had everything, and another man had only one ewe. That's a full-grown lamb, female lamb. The man who had everything took the one thing that the other man had. And David said, "Oh, how awful." And Nathan said to David, "You are that man." David sees himself as God sees him. David confesses his sins. He repents and he asks for forgiveness. And what does God do? God gives him a second chance. I love that about God. I love that. I love it. Confessions, repentance, forgiveness, they are wonderful things. Amen? Amen. I remember I was taking, and Greg, wherever you are, tell this to Melody. She'll enjoy this. I remember I was taking a sacrament class at the University of Dayton. I'm pretty sure I was the only Protestant in the class. And I remember Father Riemenschneider, I asked Father Riemenschneider a question. I had no idea who this gentleman was. He's famous. He writes RCI curriculum. To me, he was just another professor in my journey toward ordination. And so I had a question because we were talking about the sacrament, one of the seven Catholic sacraments, confession. And I said, "How do you priests do it? How do you listen to people confess their sins day in and day out?" And I tell you what, the minute I spoke, there was a hush. I mean, whoa. And this is what my dear professor said to me. "Kim, the difference is when I hear someone's confession, I do not see them at their worst. I see them at their very best." That one sentence was worth that entire tuition. And I have shared my professor's wisdom 100 times. And I just shared what I already shared. When we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This same God promises to forgive us and cast our sins as far as the east is from the west and choose to remember them no more. What an awesome and forgiving God we serve that gives us second and third chances. God not only saw in David his tender heart, his faithfulness, his fearlessness, his potential, but a heart that was willing to humble himself and confess his sin and to seek forgiveness and receive forgiveness. David was a man after God's own heart. David was faithful with a few things, and God would make him faithful of many. This morning, we're in our third message of the series. We're going to look at a woman. This woman has no name, drives me nuts that she doesn't have a name, so we call her the Samaritan woman or the woman at the well. I wonder, what was her name? You know, I'm going to meet her one day. "What's your name, honey?" just want to know your name. Everyone in the village knew her reputation, but because of Christ, no one would forget her testimony. This woman's reputation preceded her, but her legacy follows her to this very day. Question, participation here. What does every human being need to survive? Raise your hand and give one answer. Water, okay. Food.
Air.
Shelter.
Fear helps.
Fear helps, yes it does. I like to add love. Love, all we need is love. So on this day, Jesus is traveling from Judea to Galilee. The fastest way to get from Judea to Galilee would have been to simply go straight through Samaria. But devout religious Jews would never enter Samaria because their long-time historic hatred and feuding. But Jesus said, or Jesus, the scriptures say, he needed to go through Samaria because he knew in that village there was a woman who was looking for love in all the wrong places. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? This woman needed his truth that could set her free. I absolutely love, Frank, is this Luke that does this? Which gospel writer says, when Jesus says, I tell you the truth, and then he teaches, I tell you the truth, and he teaches, which gospel writer is it does that? Is it Luke? One of them, one of the guys does it. Anyway, so I just love that. He says, you know, I tell you the truth, and he's off and he's teaching us. And then there would come a time in human history when Jesus would stand to his feet and he would say to his disciples, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes under my Father except through me. Don't you love that? I love it. The story tells us that the woman shows up at the well with her water pot at high noon. That was the hottest time of the day. Why didn't she go early in the morning with all the other women in the village when it was the coolest? Did she feel judged by them? Did she feel unwelcome to join them? Perhaps she was even shunned. People, hear me this morning. You and I live and minister in a world that feels judged and unwelcome and shunned. Let's see what Jesus does to this woman who was judged, unwelcome, and shunned. Jesus asks her for a drink, and she replies, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan. Strike one! Man, she's on a roll. Then she says, and after she says, I'm a Samaritan, she says, I am a woman. Strike two! Stay tuned and hear the rest of this glorious story. I love when I, in my study, I come across different studies, and in the Word in Life Bible, it quotes this pericope. It is not the person from the radically different culture on the other side of the world that is hardest to love, but the nearby neighbor whose skin color, language, rituals, ancestry, history, customs are different from our own. Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And then the question in that Bible study goes, with whom do you have no dealings with? I'm going to just reread this quickly. Just reread it quickly. When a Samaritan woman came to the water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy some food, and the Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would give you living water. Sir, the woman said, and this is so ironic. Every time they talk, she changes the subject. I don't know if that's a female thing or what, but you just notice. I mean, every time, boom, 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 she said, oh, she says, you have nothing to draw. The water is deep. How will you get living water? Are you greater than Jacob? Da, 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 da. And Jesus says, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But everyone who drinks of the water I give will will become like springs of water to eternal life. Then the woman says, well, sir, give me this water so I don't have to keep bringing, lugging my huge, heavy water pot jar every day to get water. But that's not what he was talking about. And then he says, he changes the subject. He says, go get your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. He says, you're right. You've had five husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband either. So she changes the subject, and then Jesus changes the subject. And then she says, changes the subject. She said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place we once worship isn't Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know, but we worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit and truth for which they were the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And Jesus said, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. She runs away, she leaves her water pot, and she yells to the village, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Could this be the Messiah? Now, when you and I read that, I know in my experience, when a woman runs away and she leaves her water pot, I don't even notice that. Do you? Would you even notice that? She runs away and she yells this sentence out. But you have to realize that a water pot was priceless. It was valuable. So for us to kind of understand what she may have left is, she forgot her horse. She forgot her car. She forgot her cell phone, something valuable. She forgot that because she was so excited that she didn't need that anymore, because what Jesus had given her was living water. And she was never going to need that water pot again, not in that sense. This woman was known by all in the village. Some knew her better than others. Remember last week I taught you the song? Well, you know the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones who him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. And I taught you the new words, Jesus knows me, this I love, for the Bible tells me so. Only God can turn the mess of our lives into a message. Nancy, I'm believing for that young doctor that God is going to bring a message out of the mess he's made of his life. I'm just believing that. I've seen God show off too many times. Scars remind us where we've been, but they do not have to dictate where we are going. Amen? Amen. I can only imagine what the man that she was living with thought when she comes home and she's all excited. He's probably thinking, who are you and where'd you hide my girlfriend? When I was young, married to Frank, I left him for 6 weeks and went to the West Indies, Four Islands, on a summer missionary internship. And Frank's daddy planted 100 cups of seeds and put them in all the windows and sold them for $1 each and gave me $100 toward my mission experience. That was about a tenth of the expense I was going to do it. But so Charles did that for us. It was wonderful. And why did I just share that with you? Oh, I know. Because sometimes I forget where I'm going. So I go to the West Indies. I'm there for 6 weeks on Four Islands. I'm the Vacation Bible School director with a bunch of young evangelists. And when I came back, Frank says, Kim, you are so different. You are so changed. If I knew you were going to grow so much, I would have sent you sooner and made you stay a lot longer. Do you remember saying that to me? Well, he wrote me cards saying, my Dominica darling, my Barbadian beauty. That's another story for another time. But anyway, I get so excited. Anyway, almost 44 years ago, this November 1st, your pastor got off work at 10 o'clock at night. All my other friends had gone off to college. I had come home from college 6 months sooner and had changed majors 3 times, had no direction in my life, did everything mom and dad told me not to do in college because I was free to do whatever I want to. I'm an adult. So that night, I get off work at 10 o'clock. Back then, I was a telephone operator. We had cords. It was the funnest job. It was so fun. I loved it so much. But now we've been replaced with technology. So I get off work and I go to a bar called Jack's. And I was so lost and so searching and so seeking. I had sought God in college, and I had sought God in August on the hood of a car writing a song. But it wasn't until this night that I experienced what you and I know as blessed assurance. So I go to this bar named Jack's, and I remember what was so funny in this bar, they had this little soda fountain, heart-shaped wire chairs and a little table, like you'd find getting a soda pop, you know, in the old days. And I sat there and I was crying, and the bartender named Kent said, "What is wrong with you?" I said, "I don't know, but there's got to be more to life than this. And I just really want to find it." I didn't know it, but 6 months later when he saw me, he said, "I knew I would never see you here again. And I knew when I saw you, the change that you would experience." So I go home, and I'm in my canopy bed, and I can't sleep, and my feet keep coming out from underneath the covers, and I'm so frustrated. And this preacher's daughter had given me a New Testament version called The Way, and she said, "Dear Kim, a person can reach out to a lot of areas in life, fun, friend, food, sex, drugs, but until they accept Jesus, the vacuum in their heart will never be filled." She said, "Kim, reach out to God. He is reaching out to you." And that night, you know, I opened up the scriptures that she had shared with me, and I went to John chapter 3, and Jesus is having this conversation with this guy named, I used to call him Nicodemus because of Nico wafers. I knew the candy. I didn't know it was Nicodemus, but it was Nicodemus. And he told him, "You have to be born again or you shan't see the kingdom." And man, I didn't know. I was like Nico. I didn't know what in the world Jesus was talking about. But I thought, God, if you're giving second chances, this girl wants it and I need it. And I knelt down, didn't even know how to pray. The next morning I woke up and told my family, "I'm born again." And I thought they were going to call the emergency squad. And then when I quit a full-time job to go to a Bible college, they really thought I'd lost my ever-loving mind. Years later, I would write a song, and from time to time, you hear me sing a little song. I know a tune on the piano called Heart and Soul, and I know a few other tunes, but that's my tune. That's my tune, Heart and Soul, and I've written a few dozen little ditties, but this one goes like this. Take me back to that night when I got off work. Take me back to a bar everyone called Jack's. Take me back to the Gospel of St. John, where Jesus told this one, "You must be born again." Take me back to that night when I could not sleep. Take me back where I thought I'd lost everything. Take me back, lest I forget again, the night my God took me back in his arms and brought me home safe at last. Take me back. God is so faithful. And then you won't believe what happened. So several months go by, I'm driving down the road, and I about drove off the road. Jack's bar was no longer a tavern. It was a laundromat called The Wishing Well. And I thought, Lord, you're cleaning up the whole world. The things we see are temporary, but the things we cannot see are eternal. First impression and lasting impressions are not equal. One is unforgettable. The other is truly unforgettable, even to this day. Lauren Daigle is a new favorite artist of mine. She sings a song, and I'm going to read the words to you. It's just because the title is, "I'm Losing My Religion." Well, yeah, I'm a Christian minister. Yeah, I don't want anyone to lose their religion, you know, lose their faith in Christ. But this is what she says. "I'm losing my religion, and I'm finding something new. 'Cause I need something different. And different looks like you." Oh, the radical reversals we find in the life and the words and actions of Jesus the Christ. May God, as the head of the church, give us a desire not to go back to where we were 50, 100 years ago, May God give us the courage to go where we have never gone. A place where I fondly refer to is where the cross meets the flame. Let us pray. Lord, you are not like any other person in human history. Your words just speak truth and shed light and just welcome us to you and change us to be more like you. God, may our task this week and every day of our life is to look at your life, to look at your life, to listen to your words, and to seek to be more like you, to speak like you, to act like you, that the world that you love so much you died for might come to know and believe. God, make us faithful at this time in human history for this generation. Amen. Amen.